The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
First up this morning, wildfires are raging across Europe in the midst of the ongoing heat wave. The fires have forced thousands of people to evacuate their homes. Holidaymakers have fled campsites while spectators have been banned from a stage of the Tour de France. Joining me to tell me more now is reporter in France, Elaine Cobb. And in Portugal, we'll be joined by reporter Alison Roberts. Elaine, first to you, and thank you for being with us this morning. Can you talk us through what's happening across France, particularly in the south of the country?
Good morning, Claire. This is the third heat wave of the year and it's sparking massive wildfires, particularly in the south, in the Pyrenees, where they've been evacuating more than 12,000 people now. There are homes burned to the ground, livestock are dead, and people who thought that maybe it wouldn't last are now desperately looking for some way to get farther away from the homes they're afraid they may never see again. Now, the local police chief says that the fire is contained but not out, and the danger is still very real because the air is excessively dry this summer and because of strong winds in that area. Temperatures of 40 degrees expected today.
Now, we heard too of Irish holidaymakers who were in campsites. They had just arrived. Everything was fine. And within an hour, they were told to run. And they did so with only their passports. This is Naomi O'Leary's reporting today in the Irish Times. Have you heard those stories across the region?
There have been quite a number of people who've been taken by surprise, who thought, it's farther over, I'll be okay. But the winds change. The local wind there, the Tramontane, can whip up very quickly and can move. And the local authorities have been saying, please, if you were thinking of camping, don't, because that's particularly dangerous. And if you don't know the area well, please stay away because it's just too risky. And because also then police are going looking for people who may have gone hiking, who just don't know the area. Yesterday for the Tour de France, they asked the public to stay away as the third stage came over the mountains from Spain through the Pyrenees into France. And they just banned all the entourage cars, etc., and asked people, please just stay away. We have enough to deal with.
I'm conscious that people will be listening to this who maybe planning their holidays are on their way in the next few days. Exactly what region are we talking about? Can you explain it to us, Elaine?
Well, it's down in the Pyrenees between Spain and France in the area near the Mediterranean side. So very near Perpignan, if people were thinking of flying in there. That's where the wildfires are off now. But there have also been wildfires a little farther over in the Gers and near in the Gard, rather. So farther east. And with almost the entire country under an orange warning for heat wave now, it's definitely getting worse. And I've spoken to climatologists who say this is the pattern. We are going to see more heat waves, more intense, and they will last longer. So it's going to be a very hot summer wherever you want to go in France. In the June heat wave, Brittany was hotter than the Riviera. So it's hard to predict how it will be.
And the outlook then for the next couple of days, you know, we are expecting this heat wave, but is there any sort of respite coming according to the forecasters?
Not for a while, not unless you're in northern France for the moment, but it's going to last through the weekend. Temperatures going up across the country and hitting 41 degrees in some places. And even, you know, as I say, even in the north, it can be very hot. And so, yeah, we're looking at an extended heat wave. And that's something that, you know, the local authorities are certainly concerned about because it's hard to predict how much they can do. And also things like there are so many voluntary firefighters, and the authorities are asking companies who employ these voluntary firefighters to please let them go so they can go and battle the fires rather than be at work.
Okay, thank you very much, Elaine, for joining us from France. I have Alison Roberts on the line as well from Portugal. Alison, thank you for being with us. What is happening in Portugal? What's the latest from where you are?
Well, looking back, we've had a similar situation to there in France, you know, a series of heat waves, very unusual. And the current one, the third in a row, is lasting 10 days. You know, it's a bit unpredictable exactly when it will end, but it's well over a week. And so today we have a situation where really the whole of the interior of mainland Portugal, just a bit along the coast, is not affected by this so badly, with, you know, hundreds of municipalities under maximum or very high risk of fire. Now, Portugal is actually one of the more heavily forested countries in Europe, and because ownership tends to be very fragmented, and there is always a problem with people managing undergrowth and brush. There have been various deadlines set and people have asked them to be put back. And in some cases, the owners of plots haven't even been able to identify. So that's a long running problem. And meanwhile, we have these very high temperatures today, 40 degrees or over in the interior, and likely to continue for several days. And that, of course, is, you know, making the whole thing a powder keg, in the words of the Portuguese minister overseeing the firefighting effort.
So what's the practical impact of all of that? Are people being asked and advised to move their to leave their homes?
That we have had actually one village that was evacuated, a very large fire that started last Thursday and was only really brought under control yesterday, and several people were injured in that. Also, the government has just announced, just in the last hour or so, that it's extending the state of alert that it actually instituted last Thursday through to the end of the day on Thursday, so midnight on Thursday. And that automatically triggers a range of policies, such as, for example, a ban on public access to designated forestry areas, a ban on the use of any machinery in forests, unless, of course, it has to do with firefighting, and a ban on the use of heavy machinery in any rural area. So that's in an effort to stop, you know, sparks accidentally in alighting new fires. But we do have, you know, we have a series of these fires, which may be quite small, but can easily get out of control. Just in the Algarve, which, of course, is a very popular holiday destination, over the weekend, we had two fires that were started. They were eventually brought under control, but it's a constant danger.
And are the fire service, the fire workers, are they able to deal with it, or are they drafting in help from overseas?
Well, the government did actually over the weekend request help from the European mechanism, and they had extra aircraft coming in from Spain and Italy, also an emergency team from Spain. So these sort of cross-border collaboration is quite common. But of course, when you have a lot of countries facing the same problems, it can be difficult to juggle those resources. At present, the situation is fairly well under control. We only have 80 or so firefighters in action at active fires, but of course there are others keeping an eye on other situations, but it's not expected to improve and is expected indeed to worsen in the next day or so.
Alison Roberts, thank you for joining us from Portugal. Michael Cleary is on the line now. Michael is from Mullingar. And Michael, you were in France, were you, last week?
Good morning, Claire.
Good morning.
Yes, we were in France. We travelled out last Thursday, we travelled early Thursday morning, and we were staying at Le Brasilia camp. It's a yellow village campsite in the south of France. When we arrived, within an hour, we were evacuated from the campsite due to fire, and we ended up on the beach for 3 hours. So we had family already out there. We had an extended group who were already there, so we were meeting up with them. And then within the space of an hour, our holiday was over.
That's
so
incredible.
We ended up back in Ireland the following morning.
Did you fly out? You did?
We flew out. We flew to Carcassonne in south of France, and which is about an hour and 20 minutes away from the campsite itself. So we needed a transfer. As we were driving, we could see there were fires in other parts. So, but never did we think that this was going to be the end of our holiday, you know. And we had been there. This had been our seventh, I think, or eighth year going there, and we never experienced anything like this before.
So it was yourself, your wife, and your two children. Is that right?
Correct, yes. And we had other members, I have other family members that were there also from Mullingar and from around the country who had travelled out.
And what were you staying in? One of those mobile home things on the campsite,
exactly.
Was it?
Kind of like one of those chalets, I think that's what you call them.
Yeah. So you checked in and everything. You were in it.
We checked in. We checked in. We myself and my wife, we dropped our luggage. We took all our luggage out, left it, put it away. Our two kids went down to the pool to meet the rest of the family. So we followed them then afterwards. And then within, we actually had our lunch at the pool bar and everything was going great. We went to the pool and then just we started to see smoke, and then the whole atmosphere in the pool started to change. You know, everybody started moving and we were like, what's going on here? And then we were told we had to evacuate, so we were sent to a football pitch, and then eventually we had to go to the beach, which is just behind the football pitch. And then, you know, everybody from the camp was there then. We could see the smoke was starting to get worse and worse, and you know, eventually we could start to hear these loud booms as well. These, you know, obviously they were setting off gas canisters, or, you know, and then the fire just kept getting worse and worse.
And you were having your lunch at the pool. Did you have anything with you when you were told to get down onto the beach?
Nothing. And,
oh,
you know,
what about your passport?
Luckily enough, my daughter had gone back to the place, and when everybody was leaving, I ran back to see where she was, and thankfully she actually picked up our passports, because that's the only reason we got home, because we flew back out the following morning, Friday morning, back to Dublin. But my daughter Aoife picked up the passports.
What a thing to do. What happened in the campsite then when you were down on the beach? Did the fire actually come through it?
The fire came through it. So basically everything, our house was completely destroyed by the fire, all our possessions. So basically when we flew back on Friday morning, we were still in the same clothes that we were on the beach. We came back, we looked pretty shocking coming back to Dublin Airport Friday morning, because we were still in the same clothes that we'd been wearing on the beach. It ripped through the campsite.
What a shocking experience.
Absolutely. And like some of the homes weren't affected, but whatever way it just tracked through, it destroyed our chalet and actually my brother-in-law and sister-in-law's home as well. So mm-hmm. they have four kids and they lost all their possessions as well. So it was pretty frightening.
And what are you doing now? Like you're all probably off, are you? But sitting at home in Mullingar.
Sitting at home, yeah. So we flew back Friday morning. I was able to change my flight. Luckily enough, because we had the passports, we flew back from Carcass on Friday morning. So we were back in Dublin, Friday morning. But some of our family didn't get back till Sunday. They had to wait a few extra days out there.
Mm-hmm.
We're just kind of still in shock, I suppose, and trying to process what happened.
Yeah, I mean, you're at the loss of all of your belongings that were, but also this place that you're so familiar with that you go to every year. For that to happen, it really takes you aback.
It is, like, I mean, it was just, you just weren't expecting it. And it's so surreal, really, because, you know, it happened within such, we were there, it was just like every year that we'd been there meeting everybody, you know, looking forward to going to the pool and the entertainment that night. And next thing, within the blink of an eye, it was over, like, you know. So we were in emergency accommodation that night, and we were, you know, at this stage now, having been on the beach for 3 hours, you know, we were all dehydrated. Some of us were getting sunburned. The wind was really bad, so we were being blasted by sand as well, you know, and we had a lot of young kids. So, but we weren't alone. There was lots of other families that were in the same position as us. So it was pretty frightening.
And where did they put you for the night?
We were put into a kind of a hostel, so it was quite uncomfortable, to be honest with you, you know, but mm-hmm. it was fairly hot that night. But we just, I suppose we were, you know, we it had just been such a surreal experience. We were trying to process it all, and we were up, my family were up again at 5:30 the following morning to get a transfer.
And glad of it, I'd say.
To the airport, and glad of it. We were happy to be going at that stage, yeah. So,
right.
Which is a shame.
What age is Aoife?
Aoife is 13.
Fair play to her for picking up the passports. Yeah. Like, that's, she's a rock of sense now. You've got a good one there, Michael.
Absolutely, absolutely. Very lucky.
Listen, thanks so much for talking to us, and I'm glad you got out of there safe and sound despite what you've been through. Michael Cleary there from Mullingar, who with his wife and two children had about an hour on their holidays in France before they were told to leave when the fire ripped through the campsite. If that's happened to you or anyone you know, get in touch and let us know about it. 087 1400 106. That's the WhatsApp.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.